Amen. Let's bless the Lord. Jesus, you are worthy. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, that we're here. You can take a seat, Lord. We just love you, Jesus. Thank you for making a way, God, bringing us here, having us amongst the brothers and sisters. Father, we just worship you. We worship you. My name's Isaac. This is going to be fun. I got my nerves out in the first service, so brace yourself. We're just going to roll. We're going for it, okay? Cool? My family's here. Noelle, you probably met her. We've been coming here for lots of years. So if I haven't met you, my name is Isaac. Noelle, my wife, is over here, and my three boys, Harrison, Theodore, and Abraham, who is the auxiliary drummer in the crowd. All right, so what we're going to do today is cover the last chapter of Romans. It's my privilege to be able to preach on Romans 16, and what we're going to do is actually just hit the last three verses of Romans 16. The first part of that chapter is a bunch of greetings, where Paul is saying, greet this person from so-and-so, do this and this and this. And there's a lot of good. Maybe you can get some stuff out of that. But today, we're focused on the last three verses, which is a prayer at the very end of the chapter, verse 16, 25 through 27. So if you could join me in that spot, that would be cool. It would be lots of fun. I took liberty with the title of the message today because I feel like Bob gave me permission last week with his message title, Paul, Apostle to the Pagans. So my message title today is to him, to God be glory through Jesus Christ forever. So really subtle, really, you know, really subtle, really basic. No, we're just going after it. And that's pretty much what Paul is saying in this section of verses. And it's really exciting. And in this time of society and culture, I think it's something we need to think a lot more about, be saying a lot more, have it on our lips, have it in our heart. To God be glory through Jesus Christ forever. He is King. He is seated on the throne. And that's what we believe. And that's why we meet. And that's why we're filled with joy and hope for our future. Amen? Amen. So that's what we're talking about today. So get there. Romans 16, 25 through 27. We're going to start by reading it through. And I want to read it through in a way that makes sense to me. So if you're looking at the screen, 25, 26, and 27, you'll see I kind of put things in different areas. But that's just because the way Paul writes, it helps me to kind of separate out certain lines and segments that he says, because sometimes he'll say the main thing like here and then here and then here, but you kind of have to find it in the mix in order to really catch what he's trying to say. So that's what this is supposed to do. Is it helps me, and I hope it helps you. And so we'll read it together, and then we'll talk about what I heard the Lord just kind of illuminating to me when reading through this over and over. And it's really cool when we get to share in what the Lord wants to say this morning. So, verse 25, if you're there. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God. So there's lots of accordings, right? And the preaching, according to. For obedience to the faith, to God, verse 27, alone wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. So that's my message. I'm taking out the guts of the thing, getting to the main point. To him, to God, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. I believe that's what Paul's saying. And he's saying it in a way, and there's stuff hidden in here to how is this happen? How does this happen? What's my role in bringing God glory? Well, I want to tell you, I think the first thing we got to do in this section of Scripture is hear the gospel. Hear the gospel. I believe what Paul is saying is, yes, to him, to God, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. But buried in here, you can see verse 25, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures made known in the commandments. What he's saying is, there's a message I've said, you know, there's a message I've preached. Hear what I'm telling you. I think it's fun for me to be able to preach the last chapter of Romans, because Romans is so rich and so full of a lot, you know. There's a lot in Romans. And I love the book, and I love how Paul kind of frames it in such a simple way. So there's so much richness, so much buried. We in Romans, we've talked about, you know, humility, love. We've talked about submission to authorities even. We've talked about our identity as a child and an heir in Christ. We've talked about being a living sacrifice. There's so much in Romans. But I love how at the very end, Paul gives us a simple instruction. It's not overcomplicated. It's just listen to what I've said. Hear the word that I've preached. Have ears to hear what's been spoken. And I don't know about you guys, but right now, in my heart, what I'm hearing is urgency. And it's kind of a weird thing to say, because right now, you know, pretty much everything's trying to make us not urgent to go or do anything anywhere. But at the same time, it's this contrast of what I'm feeling in my spirit is this sense of urgency to go and to be and to release the message that God's put in me and to really walk in my identity. And so, you know, heck, I mean, our family even celebrated Christmas like last week. We had a day, we called it Christmas Day, not to be confused with December 21st, Christmas Day. Like, we were just like, you know what? Today we're going to do something. We're gonna have some fun. We're gonna go get a tree, and it's fake. I'm from Malala, Oregon, you guys. That's a logging town where we cut down trees and are proud of the real deal, right? Represent Malala. And so if you have a fake tree and you live in Malala, you're like this, you know, you're like this pariah of, like, mankind. No, I'm kidding. It's like, what do you do? Like, the Boy Scouts are selling it for their family, like, for their well-being. Why aren't you supporting the Boy Scouts? Like, it's this whole deal. But we have a fake tree now. But it was so much fun. Noel went to Target, and the boys, we decorated it, and it was just a blast. And I think we took it a step too far, to be frank with you. I didn't think gifts should be permitted before actual Christmas. But lo and behold, Noel and Nicole come home from Target with presents, and we did. We had a cousin gift exchange November 14th under the Christmas tree for no reason, just because. It was awesome. But I think it's just something God's just wanting. In my heart, I've been telling people, I feel like there's been like these horses just locked up, and they just want to run. They just want to get out of me. And it's just God stirring me to preach the gospel, because I believe what we've been saying. I believe that Jesus is the hope of the world. I believe Jesus is peace. I believe he does unite. And I have to get that message out there. Like, there's something in me that just must move. And so I'm hearing the gospel, and there's something stirring inside of me. So I don't know where you guys are at, but I kind of maybe pinch you a little bit, maybe kick you. But just like, I just want you to absorb some of the urgency I feel. To preach the gospel, to make his name known, and to shine Jesus. And so what we've been doing is, Brandon, my friend here, has joined me, and Jeremiah's in the back too. I've been inviting people on Saturdays, the past handful of Saturdays at like 9:30 in the morning. It's been rainy and wet and freezing too. And we've been getting together and just meeting really simply with a heart. Lord, we've heard your call. We feel like we got to do something. We're gonna spread the gospel. And so what we've been doing is meeting, drinking a hot cup of Joe, praying, and just asking the Lord, lead us somewhere. You know, so we've been wandering the streets, we went into a smoke shop like the other day. I didn't even know it was a smoke shop until I was in there. And I was like, oh, man, there's like glass. Yeah. What else are you going to do when you're... No, I'm kidding. kidding. So bad. Bad joke. No, I have a shirt that says, "No high like the Most High." I'm okay. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I actually do. So I end up, we're in the smoke shop, like responding to the gospel. And so we find ourselves in there, and we're telling the store manager about Jesus. And she's really kind of freaked out because what are you doing in here? And why are you saying Jesus so many times? And so she's in there. But then it was cool because when you just go somewhere with a humble heart, you feel the urgency and you just like do something about it. It's amazing what God does. And I'm not saying get on the streets. I'm not saying to walk into smoke shops. I'm actually recommending not to do that. But it's just amazing when you hear the word and you respond and do something like the situation God sets up. And so I actually find, we find ourselves in there. I believe it wasn't even for the store manager who we were talking to. This guy was in there buying some stuff. And I just hear the Lord ask him if there's something going on in his body. And so I do. "Hey, man, what's going on in your body?" Literally like that. Like, "Do you have anything that hurts in your body?" That's my introduction. And he's like, "Yeah, actually, you know, I'm a veteran and I'm all kinds of screwed up. And it feels like my insides are on fire all the time of pain." And I said, "Whoa, well, I believe Jesus is a healer. And he's come today through me to speak to you just to pray. Would you allow us to just agree with you and pray that healing would hit your body in like a miraculous way?" And he was like, "Bring it on, man. Let's do this." So I don't know where he's at with God, but we were praying and witnessing to this man. But it was cool. It's a divine moment. It's the gospel being spread. And so I just feel that's the type of urgency I feel. So whatever that is, whatever, however that looks like, I'm not telling y'all to do exactly what I do. I just want you to catch a little bit of what's stirring in me. Hear the gospel. Next that I think this scripture is pulling out of us is, receive Jesus. There we go. Receive Jesus. So Paul's saying, according to all this stuff, you know, it's him that belongs the glory. Hear what I'm saying to you. But now, receive Jesus. The only way God can receive glory is through this man, Jesus Christ. Do not pretend to think that outside of Jesus, you can accomplish anything miraculous. You can accomplish anything beyond yourself. And anything that matters with eternal consequence outside of Jesus Christ is a failed effort. It's worthless pursuits. You're doing nothing. Receive Jesus. And I'm not just saying, and I don't think Paul's just saying, receive me for salvation unto eternal life. And yes, he is, but it's not it. As believers, receiving Jesus actually happens every single day. It happens with every single invitation to obey. God is constantly asking us to be with him, asking us to encounter him, asking us to abide with him. And so there's this constant invitation to be received from Jesus. And Paul is saying, he's the one who's able to establish you, so you need Jesus. It's through Jesus Christ, and not just now, but forever. Not just in this moment, but it's always going to be him. So be with him. Hear the word that Paul has preached these last 16 chapters. Hear what's been said, but know that nothing is possible without Jesus Christ. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the wellspring of our life. He is our joy. His gifts never stop coming. His mercy, I love this about Jesus, that his mercy is new every single morning. Every single morning. And you know that it's always morning somewhere around the world. So I just take that as permission to immediately repent and get right with God every single time. I don't have to wait till I fall asleep and wake up again. You hear what I'm saying? His mercy is constant. It's new every morning. In him, we live and move and have our being. From him flows a river of the water of life. He is the wellspring of our souls, you guys. It's Thanksgiving week. What do we have to be thankful for above everything else? It's this person, Jesus Christ. It's amazing. It blows my mind that God, in his infinite wisdom, We read it even.
Alone wise, right? Did you catch that word? Alone wise. God in his infinite wisdom, the one who knows the beginning from the end, who is not bound by time. The one who has made our very bodies. He's made all creation. He is limitless. He's all powerful, all knowing. That God who we cannot even remotely begin to try and comprehend. Like that God wants you and me. And it's because of Jesus that we're able to enter into that kind of relationship with that kind of God. Like, that's wild. Without Jesus, it'd be way too hard. Like, way too complex. We couldn't understand how to relate to God, but God gives us the revelation of the mystery of how to actually be in relationship, and it's Jesus Christ. So everything that we learn in Romans, everything that we need every single day must be through Jesus Christ, bar none. Like, and if you're not receiving from Jesus Christ, if you don't find yourself, like right now in your own life, in your own heart, in a position where you're actually asking Jesus to do something in you, where you're at, you're in a position where your word's open, where you're in a position of prayer before him, where you're alone with Jesus, I'd tell you right now, look, it won't last long where you end up doing something that's worthless, stupid, or like hurtful to another. Like you'll fall away. Be with Jesus. Receive Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There's even a, I'll tell this really quick. There was even a guy we were talking to. It was me and Jeremiah, I think, yesterday morning. We were in like a corner store, grocery store. This man, he had been he'd been a Muslim for 20 years, but then fell away from that faith. Like something was empty in it and he didn't want it anymore. And so we find ourselves in this conversation, Jeremiah and I, with this guy, where he's been searching, he's been reading all these books. He's even been reading books about the prophets, and not just Christian prophets, other prophets. And he's searching and asking questions. And so here we are presenting something he's never heard before. He's never heard this, that Jesus actually is the way, the truth, and the life. And that you cannot have a relationship with God the Father except through him. That real love, the kind of love that transforms our culture and society, the kind of love that the church needs and must walk in right now, particularly right now, it can only be done if we each individually are receiving Jesus every day. That's what Paul, I think, is saying. Receive Jesus. And then lastly, obey. For obedience to the faith. Obedience to the faith. Now, some versions say it a little differently in this verse 27. Some versions, like NIV, might say something like obedience that comes from faith. ESV says obedience of faith. And then the New Living says that they might believe and obey. Now, I think they all kind of hint at the same thing, that obedience and faith are two sides of the same coin. You can't say you have faith and then not obey. And you can't obey really without faith. Like it's the same deal. So if you claim faith in Jesus Christ, you don't just claim a mindset. You claim submission to a lordship and an obedience to a new king who's got different ways than the way that you think. And he might just interrupt your life and ask you to do something, but you'll have to say yes, because I believe in Jesus Christ. He is Lord. I feel like so many times we try and solve our own problems, and I'm saying myself, we try and fix our own situations without understanding that if I were to just listen, if I were to hear the word, be in it, receive Jesus and know that it's only through him, but then actually like have faith enough to obey what he says, that it would resolve that situation. There's a reason it says in the Bible, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I mean, I've pastored college-age young adults, and a lot of times we talk about relationships, right? Who's the one? How am I going to know? I feel alone. Like, is God ever going to bring the person? And I say it every single time. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Obey. And without fail, God does it, right? Obedience to the faith. I love the faith, too, because it reminds me of the way. You see, there's actually a way to be a Christian. There's actually the way. There's a right way, and it's only in Christ. In our own methods, our own ideas, our own wisdom, outside of Jesus, we'll just fail. They'll be miserable. We'll be sad, and we'll find ourselves bound to our own desires. Could you go to the next one, Jerry, real quick? Hear the gospel, receive Jesus, obey. You know, I'll just say something real quick before we run through this, but obedience to Jesus, slavery, I'll call it, because that's how Paul said it. I'm a bondservant. I'm a slave to Jesus. Is actually the most freeing place we can be. Like, real freedom isn't, I'll even say this, isn't found in our, like, constitution. It's not. It's just not. Freedom is in Jesus Christ. I can, and like, the reason I can say that is because I believe that the real gospel, the pure gospel, applies to everyone, everywhere, always. So that little Indian boy who's working in a mine in India for nothing, like, can be free. He doesn't have what I have. He doesn't have this. But he can be free in Jesus because he can meet that guy. He can meet Jesus just like I can, because the Almighty God comes the same way to him as he does to me, through a man that I can know, a man that wants relationship, a man that can speak to that little boy's heart just like he speaks to my heart. Oh, this verse is popping into my head. I said it for service too. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness. He just believed God. Sure, he went into a land he didn't know, but he believed God. But it says right after that, he believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. If there's one thing I want, one thing, I don't, you know, testimonies are great. I love testimonies. We can go into 900 smoke shops. I can tell you crazy stories, whatever. I don't care about any of that. I want to be a friend of Jesus. And the reason I tell those things is because that's my journey, and I think that kind of obedience draws me into friendship with Jesus. Because when you just simply obey, when you've heard the gospel, and you've received the grace of Jesus Christ to have this ability to do things you can't do by yourself, like, and then you obey it, that's relationship. That's relationship. Because it's not duty, it's a person that you're with. When I teach, when I teach my boys how to hit a baseball, I get to enjoy the sport with them once they hear my instruction. Receive what I said, you know, trust me. And then they actually try and do it. Now, once as they start to practice, as they start to move and to do, it won't happen if they just think about it all day and they just come to a seminar every week on a Sunday from, you know, it will never happen until it actually, you start doing something. That's when relationship happens. That's when life begins to spring up inside of you. And that's when all the things that are going around us, you know, are everything that we're required to do right now, everything that maybe we don't agree with or do agree with, whatever, it takes us above that when we're in relationship with Jesus Christ. He's the wellspring. He's our hope. He's the river. He's joy. He's peace. He's happiness. Be obedient to his voice. And I'll say this really quick before coming to the end, and I just feel the need to say this. If you don't think you can hear God's voice, It sounds a lot like when you read the Bible when you're listening to yourself in your head. This is the simplest way I tell people how to hear God's voice. Like, people are like, how do you hear God? Well, do you ever read your Bible? You believe it's God's word? Cool, we there? Okay. So when you read it, whose voice do you hear? Sounds a lot like you, right? That makes sense? I think God says this, says stuff to us when we're not reading the Bible in the same voice. And it's him. Sounds a lot like us, but it's God. And you can test it and you can affirm it by what the Bible says. Absolutely. But you can hear God's voice, I promise you. Just listen. Just listen. And be obedient to it. Respond to it. I think we'll see transformation. I think we'll actually see the book of Romans come to life at City Harvest Church if we hear what's been said, if we receive Jesus and we obey it. And can you throw that? Yeah, sweet. Okay, this is super messy. And if you're watching on live stream right now, the top part might be cut off because of the speakers. I appreciate that. But all I want to show here is that what's cool about this message and what's cool about preaching Romans 16 is that we've already actually read this once. It was in Romans 1. Yeah. So Paul said the same exact thing in Romans chapter 1, verse 1 through 6. And he's bookending his whole gospel, the whole gospel, with the same statement. And it's the statement I'm telling you today. He says, hear the gospel. Notice all the red marks. That's hear the gospel, right? He was separated to the gospel through the prophets of the scriptures concerning his son, according to the flesh, declared to be the son of God. He's saying, hear what I'm about to tell you. That's chapter 1. He's saying it's through Jesus. Look, I've been called by Jesus. Through him, I've received grace and apostleship. I'm called of Jesus. You are called of Jesus. So he says, hear what I'm about to tell you. Know that it's through Jesus that what I'm about to tell you applies. And then he says, for obedience to the faith among all nations. The green kind of got messed up there. For obedience. So obey. And the result of doing this, he even told us at the very start of his book, he even told us, hear, receive, obey. The result of all this is actually going to be of God. It's to his glory. It's for his name among the nations. That's the goal. That's the purpose. So that's my heart today. It's just to stir you. It's just to move you. It's to get something moving in your heart that says, okay, God, I've heard your call. I want you, Jesus. I recognize you, Jesus, as the only person that can do this in my life. If I've been far from you, if I've let the news cycle keep me from the good news cycle, you know what I mean? Oh, that's kind of corny, but I kind of like it. If you've let the news cycle keep you from the good news, you know, because we can talk more about the news than we do about Jesus. And it can be the thing that we witness to others more than the gospel of God. And that really has been convicting me, is that I don't want that to be the case in my life. And so that's part of the reason I'm telling you these, like the Saturday thing is because I feel so stirred to just like realign, get like shock myself into what's important again. Shock myself into the reality of the gospel alive and well. Giving myself to the fact that if I just string the words together, the grace of Jesus, Jesus' grace, that giving you the ability to do what you can't do. If I just string the right words together, if I just put them in order, and I don't even have to do it well, if I just make the effort, people actually get saved, you guys. They do. Just the right words in order that Jesus saves. In him alone is salvation. Do you want to receive Jesus Christ? I'm telling you, people inside of them, it's a spiritual thing. You're not. It's a spiritual battle. Their spirit just recognizes truth. I believe that with all my heart. And so I'm grateful. I'm thankful. And a grateful and thankful heart, even this week, I think true thankfulness, true gratitude leads you into obedience. It leads you into this type of mindset with the Lord. So hop to the last one there, Jerry. Listen, Bob says it all the time. I'm going to say it again. Paul said it at the beginning and at the end of his book. To him, to God, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. We get to share in that glory, church. We are partakers, not because we deserved it, but because Jesus Christ died on a cross, made a way, and by his blood and by his stripes, we've been healed of our sin and iniquity and now have access into his presence and his joy. We are partakers with him in the glory of Jesus Christ. That is nuts. That is nuts. So if I can just provoke, I'd like that thankful heart in you just to say, thank you, Jesus. Glory be to you, God. That I don't, no matter what has happened to me, I have this to be thankful for, that my life is hidden in Christ in God. And I know that his love is higher and deeper and wider. It is stronger than any principality and power. It can overcome. And that's the love I've been welcomed into. And I will not settle. I will not capitulate. That's a finance term we say. Oh, I don't know why it popped in my head. I will not give in. I will not remain stagnant. I do not care what is happening. I do not care. I will not let it affect me. Because look at this, guys. To him, to God be glory, not to Isaac. Like, look, the Christian life is not for me. When I start complaining about being uncomfortable, when I start complaining about things that are bothering me, it's a constant Holy Spirit check in my heart, because it says, who do you serve, Isaac? Is it really about your comforts? Is it really about you? When I start going to services and I want to feel a certain way as opposed to like be there to give away something, like give away what I have to give God. And I understand we do receive things, but what I'm trying to say is it's not about us. It's not about us. But this invitation is beautiful and it is wonderful for us. It is life for us. Hear what's been said. Hear the good news of Jesus today for your families as you take it to the Thanksgiving dinner. Have the good news to speak. It's through Jesus Christ and him alone. And be obedient to the way. Be obedient to the faith. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We praise you. We are honored, God, that you would give us access to yourself. You are amazing. You are holy, and there's no one like you. We are thankful, and our hearts are full of gratitude. Bless your name in the name of Jesus. Amen.